Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
All right, it is the Smarticle Podcast. He's Brandon, I'm Larry. This is our gift to you, 5 seconds of silence, brought to you by the Smarticle Podcast. All right, if you would like to help out the show, it's a very simple way to do that. Go to where you get this podcast, rate, review, give us a good thumbs up, whatever it is, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you be, subscribe and like the show. It really helps us out, Brandon.
Yes, it does. We love when people tune in and give us a review, especially on Apple Podcasts. That's very helpful. But following us, telling a friend, those are all great things.
All right, here's today's headline. The Burgeoning Science of Search and Rescue by the great Sarah Scholes and my new favorite website, Brandon, Undark.com.
Yeah, I'd never heard of Undark.com, but then I was like, huh, I always do the about, and it was started by MIT, funded by some rich, fancy people, but it's all about trying to use science to explain the world. It's really fascinating. I think it's a great medium.
Is there any chance that you thought this was a kinky sex site when you went and were like...
I did not. No, looking at the topic of the article, and I found this article fascinating. The author of this article is legit. She's a legit science writer. She's also a search and rescue person. So this article is about search and rescue stuff, and she was great.
Here's a little more than a smidge because I'm trying to set this up, but here it is. By analyzing reports of people who got off track, researchers are advancing the science of lost person behavior. In 2021, nearly 3,400 people needed help getting out of the wilderness in U.S. national parks alone. When searchers are seeking a kid who wandered from camp in mountain lion country or an alpinist unconscious in an avalanche, efficient search tactics can mean the difference between life and death. Those high stakes inspire researchers to travel and find out a way to find them. Some of the data researchers are looking at: distances people typically travel from the point they were last seen, the elevation change they usually made, how long they remain mobile, how close to features like roads or streams they were found, and what scenario led to their predicament. Listen to this. School-age kids, for instance, often get lost because they tried to take a shortcut and can usually be found within a mile of their last known position. More than half are found in structures, yards, or vehicles. Hunters, meanwhile, travel a similar distance, needing to go around 100 feet downhill and take that journey off trail, and usually get lost because they followed an animal intently through dense brush. Cross-country skiers, meanwhile, often keep moving to stay warm and go more than twice as far as hunters or kids, though some are reported lost when they've already made it back to the local bar and failed to tell anyone.
Yeah, I like that one.
All right. So this is what's crazy to me. You're who you are, Jack Wilderness, and you're middle of Appalachia and you get lost.
Yeah.
There's this algorithm now that can predict where you are. This is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's based on years and years and years of research. I mean, they kind of go into the deep, dark history of this whole operation, and it really basically started with this guy that was a Boy Scout a literal Boy Scout who thought, you know, hey, he just started researching and studying this because he was fascinated by it, and he was went to a prestigious university and just became a scientist. But he started saying, it used to be basically they would look at it and they'd say, we're going to draw a circle around where they were.
And graph it
like how far could they have walked in a day. What he said is he took the psychology of individual groups.
Crazy.
Because the way a hunter acts is different than a child or a person with dementia. So all these, and he took this and created this algorithm around not just simply the circle, but also the kind of person. And he found it very effective in finding people because they're using the psychology of the individual to determine what they would do in a situation.
First off, if you have dementia, you should not go to the middle of Appalachia. That's just but I feel like that's more for...
What if you live in the middle of Appalachia and you have dementia? I'm just saying.
But I think that what he's trying to do is map that, even like they were talking about kids getting lost in an urban environment. So a person gets lost, dementia, in an urban environment, they now have an algorithm to kind of find this person.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting. I don't think a lot about lost people, But I suppose...
Who does?
Well, no, but I mean, you always hear about this person lost, and I'm like, okay, who gets lost? The one thing I took away, and this is going to sound... You're going to make fun of me, and I'm just prepared for it, so go ahead. I have at it. But I was thinking to myself, they were talking about some kid that got lost in Glacier National Park, and he fell in a snowdrift, and he lost his shoes and everything, but I was like, man, if I was hiking anywhere in the winter, or maybe the summer or wherever, you know, I was going out on anything, I would just carry in my pocket a waterproof container with matches. Like, that is, of everything else, being able to start a fire would be the difference between life and death, especially in the winter. So I was like, okay. So, but obviously most people are not, maybe I guess a lot of people don't do that. But, you know, you could do a GPS thing. You could do a lot of stuff to help find him.
Okay, since we're just giving confessions of our first thoughts.
Okay.
And yours was, if I happen to be in Glacier Park, I'm going to bring some matches. Thank you, Brandon.
Okay.
This is what I read. This is my first impression after I read this article.
Okay.
If you go to the middle of Appalachia and you get lost, you kind of deserve to die. Like, seriously. Like, we should not be sending air, land, and sea at a cost of $100,000 to find your ass if you went to get lost in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome. You are the king of telling me when I say things that are never going to happen.
No.
That's never going to happen, bro. We're never going to stop searching for people that are lost. I don't care how they got there. Someone's going to go out. That's the nature of the way our system is set up.
So then who pays for that?
You and I pay for it.
So dumb.
It's the nature of being in a society. I mean, we pay for dumb people. That's what we do.
I first heard about this from, they do the very similar thing if you're on a boat and get lost. Like you're on a cruise ship.
Uh-huh.
They've so mapped the currents of the ocean.
Okay.
They can now predict if you fall off in the Indian Ocean, where that current carries you to find you. So they now know where to send Coast Guards. Like,
really?
For fishermen. Oh, yeah. It's way more mapped in the ocean than it is almost for
Well, that's land. Because there are no currents necessarily.
Yes.
One of the things they talked about in the article that I thought was kind of interesting was different types of people have different thinking, but one clear touch point was follow streams and rivers. That's what they're looking at as far as like safety. And I've always read about that or always heard about that, is that if you get lost somewhere, what you're supposed to do is go find the stream will empty out somewhere. So follow the stream or the river out. And so they are looking at people that if you're the kind of person that would know that, that's part of the algorithm. They're like, oh, that person's going to follow the stream.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to the, if you're a little kid, you're not going to know that.
So I went to an escape room with an engineer friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
I go to these escape rooms looking for the clues. I am effed. My brain just becomes overwhelmed. I can't get clue one. But this engineer friend I went with was like very like, okay, he's like, he just was able to break it down into steps. First, we need to do this. It could be this that we like, but my brain just becomes overwhelmed. So if I get lost in Appalachia, I'm screwed. Having said that,
I think it is.
But having said that, on the reflexive end of that, the fact that there's this really smart guy out there that's like, I'm going to take all of this data of people getting lost and emotions and elevation and put it in this computer and come up with an algorithm to help find people. I just think that's amazing.
I mean, one, if it saves the life of a child. I mean, forget about it. You're like, oh, why do people stoop? Why are we paying for that?
Well,
look, I'm talking about children. If a child somehow gets lost, and if they,
yes,
they said that most children never go further than a mile and a half away from where they were lost. And the other thing that was interesting, they talked about how people get lost. Hunters typically get lost because they're so intent on following the trail of the prey that they literally get sworn and they forget. You know, hikers get, whatever reasons they are, kids get lost because they're kids and they know where they're basically going to be. So to me, it's like, if nothing else, if we're saving little kids, then it's worth the effort and the cost to do it.
Of course. But just back to my original point, if you're a hunter going to find the white-toothed tiger in Appalachia and you get lost and you don't have a sat phone and you haven't paid whatever billions of dollars and have a sat phone.
Yeah.
I say it's currents for you, bro. It's like,
okay, you're very, okay. I don't disagree with you in a pragmatic standpoint, but again, it's like my national service that I want to have all kids at 18 go into a national service, like work corps. And you make fun of me every time for that. Yeah, practically you're right. We shouldn't be paying for these idiots to get lost. But we do. And it's never changing.
You think the guy that drives the helicopter over the Appalachian Mountains is like, great, we get to go get another G.I. Joe who got lost in the wilderness and was unprepared.
They knew what they signed up for when they signed up for it, dude. That's just life. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think you're bizarrely lost if you're trying to make this point. If you're being tongue-in-cheek, okay, this isn't changing. We're not going to stop searching for people to get lost. It's just not going to change. So if you want to keep going running out on this one, we can keep running out on it. I'll keep arguing with you about why.
Okay, so the person that decides to take their sailboat around the world and gets caught in a giant storm in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
What do we do with that guy?
Well, the person that decides to go around the world 99% of the time has a sat phone. That's how they get found. Okay, so they get found by the Coast Guard of the closest country they're in. There is a difference to that person. They've taken on basic risk. But if you're a hiker that's just walking down on a trail somewhere, you're not necessarily going out there going, oh, I'm going to get lost. You know, there is a very real potential that you could get caught in a massive storm in the ocean and your boat could sink and that's it, right? That's why they have the safety precautions and life vests and all the things that they do. If you're a hiker, I think you should take safety precautions, but we're not going to, so we got to be realistic.
Have you ever been super lost to the point where like, oh man, I'm done?
No, no, I never have. You know, I've never been lost like that before. Maybe because I grew up out in the country and...
Oh, there we go.
Well, you grew up in Whittier, California, where there was no countryside. I grew up...
But I can speak Spanish. That's how I know.
Can you?
And you can't because I grew up in Whittier.
Poco? Anyway, you can't speak Spanish. I've heard you
I can treat... I can speak all the bad languages on the playgrounds.
Con crema, bendejo. Is that all you know?
I had the teardrop tattoo to protect me from all the
It's just painful
bad people
sometimes.
On the playgrounds.
Let me ask a serious question today. Are you just sort of struggling with trying to find something to say, and that's why you just come up with dumb shit like this?
I'm just saying, you're good on a mountain range because
I just literally said because I grew up in the country. I don't know if that's the reason why I haven't gotten lost. I just said I haven't gotten lost. Maybe that's the reason. Have you ever gotten lost?
And I've never got jumped by a gang in Hispanic territory.
Hey, Vato, have you ever gotten lost like this?
I mean, I've gotten lost once as a little kid, ironically, at Disneyland, but never like this.
Yeah, and getting lost at Disneyland, you're going to go find some adult's going to take you wherever.
Just real quick, I just love lost stories before we go.
Okay.
I had my two boys. I was at Trader Joe's. They were like 5 and 3. Maybe they're 6 and 4, whatever.
Yeah.
They got lost.
I feel like I remember this story.
30 seconds later, over the...
Mr. Olsen, come just go... Blah, blah, blah.
So I go over there. My 6-year-old is just like peeing his pants and is crying and just screaming, oh my God!
And by the way, for the listening, that Trader Joe's is not that big.
No, it's not big. And I just come over and my oldest, the 6, has just lost it. My 4-year-old is like, they'd given him a juice box. He popped out a cigarette. He's like, yeah, Dad, could you get lost a little longer? You know, he's just like, loved it.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I went to Sam's Club, which is similar to Costco, and took my daughter, and I told her, she was in this toy little section right in the front. I said, hey, listen, I'm going to run back and grab something. This is probably 2 years ago. She's a little bit younger. But I said, stay here. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. I go run back there and I'm kind of putzing around because I'm trying to find the right like chicken wings or something. And so I'm taking a little bit longer than I thought I was going to take. I hear over the microphone, Mr. Dole, could you report to the... I'm like, oh no. So I run up there and the freaking greatest thing ever, my wife had told my daughter, listen, if you ever get lost in a store, one, we're not going to leave you, but if you get lost, go find a mom and ask her for help. And that's exactly what she did. And I was just like, I was so proud of her at that moment. She was scared, but she asked the parent. I thought it was great.
I'm really hoping that mom then called CPS. I am so...
She did not. Like,
this
she was very sweet.
Son of a...
Yeah.
Just let the...
I think the last point to this whole thing.
Okay.
Number one, it's really cool that they're doing this. I think it's really a beneficial thing because...
Depends on who you think. But
but children, people with dementia, things like that, that can't help themselves. So you let everyone die. I'm like, hey, maybe we can help those people that can't help themselves. The other part of this is, if someone read this, it's always a good reminder to all of us, no matter where we are, to think about what we do before we do it. So if you're that hunter and you're going off in there and you don't have a sat phone or you don't have a GPS or you don't have water or matches, that's on you. I hope you don't die, but that's on you. So it's always a good reminder to take care, to just prepare. Did your plan fail or did you fail to plan, Larry? That's what I would ask.
All right, Brandon, I'd like to thank you for admitting you're a bad dad today on the Smarticle podcast.